Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Let's all stand for our first song today. It's time to get started. Grab the blue hymnal, Heavenly Highway Hymns. Turn to page 241. Please stand. 241. 241. Be seated. Let's turn over to page 262 for our next song. 262. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Brad. Good morning, everybody. Good to see each and every one out today. We appreciate each and every one of you coming out today. A lot of visitors today, and we are thankful for each and every one of you coming out to be with us today in this service. I hope the Lord will bless you in a great way for being here today. And I just hope and pray that we can see the blessings of God coming down in this service today. And I just pray that we will truly be blessed by the Spirit of God today being in our service. We're going to move right along with our service today. Brother Sam Vance does our children's church, and we're going to turn it over to him at this time.
Let's go. Looking good. How you doing, Cohen? Hello. Wow. I'm glad I didn't wear a pink dress. I might have clashed with some of you. Y'all look so pretty. And a yellow dress. Y'all look so good. All right. Everybody had a good week? Had a good day? Yeah? No? Indifferent? Waiting to see, huh? All right. Does anybody know what an anchor is? You ever heard of an anchor? I see some heads shaking. I see some heads nodding. Just give me a description of an anchor on what you might use it for. Nobody talking? All right. Anybody ever been on a boat? Ever seen a boat? You know, and when you want to stay in one place, what do? You drop the anchor, right? It's attached to a rope. It's a weight and something. It grabs the bottom and it keeps it in place, right? You know, and there's a lot of other things that you can think of that anchor stuff, right? See the cars out there? Y'all see the vehicles out there? And see the wheels on them? How do you think that they're attached or anchored to that hub? Yeah, they got bolts on them, right? So it anchors it in place. How many of you are wearing shoes that you have to tie? How do you think it stays to your foot? Well, the lace is tied and it anchors it. It's secured to your foot, so you don't want it to come off, right? You know, does every anchor always work all the time? No. Sometimes if we're anchored in the ocean and the force is too great, why, it'll pull the anchor up. It might break the chain or something. So sometimes your shoelace might break. You ever had a shoelace break, man? That ain't no fun, is it? When you throw a shoe, that's right. You know, and you sure don't want your lug nuts to come off your tire and your wheel go rolling past you on the highway. That is not a good thing. But man-made anchors can fail, right? Everybody agree with that? Everybody's in agreement. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about there's something that is the anchor of the soul. We've talked about our soul before, right? Look at me, everybody. We've talked about our soul, and Jesus saves our soul. And we are saved by a hope. By a hope, it says in there, Hebrews 6 and 19. And that hope is not like a wish, okay? Like, you ever said, I hope I get a pony for Christmas? You know, it's not like that. A hope in the Bible that talks about the soul is an earnest expectation. It's a knowing, okay? In other words, you say, I wish for a pony at Christmas. You say, I know I'm going to get a pony for Christmas. And that's what being anchored in Jesus is. It says that we have this hope. It's an anchor of the soul. And you know what it says? There's two words that describe it, Ben. It says it's sure and it's steadfast. Sure means it's real, it's there, and steadfast meaning you can't pull it out. The devil can't pull it out. So man-made anchors will fail, but God's anchors will last forever. All right? Let's stand up and say, repeat after me, Jesus is the anchor. Come on, we can put some feeling in it. Jesus is the anchor. Jesus is the anchor of my soul. All right, thank you. Watch what you ask for.
Brother Sam is saying, watch what you ask for. Brother Sam, there's some parents up here saying, you started something. It is good to see everybody out today. I hope you enjoyed the children's church portion of our service today, and I hope and pray that it has been a blessing to you today. It is good for us to remember the anchor of our soul. As he was talking about that years ago when I was in high school, a group of us boys in school, we rented a houseboat. Didn't have the foggiest idea what we was doing. But it had an anchor on the front and on the back of that small houseboat. But there came up a storm. This came to my mind. There came up a storm, and those anchors didn't hold. It was blowing us directly into the bank of the lake. And I still remember the struggle that we had trying to make sure that it didn't run aground. Now, that's the other thing about what Brother Sam was talking about to the kids. When you're anchored in the Lord, you don't have to worry about the winds blowing you off. It's there. And I just had that thought, and I thought I would add that in this morning. It's good to see each one here today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer in just a few minutes. And there's a lot of things that we need to pray about. I do know that, but I especially want you to remember Sister Mona. It's been a tough week for her. She lost her mother this past week. Most of you realize that she lost her husband about a little more than a month ago. And then about 6 months or so, 6 months or so ago, she lost her father. So we need to be prayerful for Sister Mona. She hadn't been able to be with us over the last few weeks, just trying to get everything back in order. She's been a few times, but I talked with her a little bit yesterday. And just remember her and her family as we go to the Lord in prayer. I was asked to make mention to let everybody know today's offering is going directly upon the loan of the building here. And it's going to, so everything you put in today is going towards the bottom line. So everybody keep that in mind. Now, getting back to the business of praying, I want us to be prayerful for these things. Does anybody else have a prayer request upon your heart today? Remember Brantley in your prayers. Somebody else? I want us to keep in mind praying for the revival. Brother Sam mentioned this in Sunday school. Our revival is coming up real soon, and we need to be praying for the preacher. Amen. You need to be praying for yourselves. Yes. You need to be praying for these that are lost. And I hope and pray that we can all be about God's business, not worrying about whatever else is going on, but worrying about praising God and showing these sinners what they need to do to get saved. So let's keep that in mind today. Anything else upon anyone's heart? I appreciate each and every one being here today. Let's be about God's business today in this service, and I hope that you'll be prayerful for me today as the Lord would help me to stand today. Brother Patrick, if you would, lead us in prayer, please. Everybody pray in your own way, though.
Sing page 47. 47. The King is coming. We have assurance of that through God's word, don't we?
Amen.
We're going to finish today with page 113. 113, great is thy faithfulness.
Appreciate everybody coming up here in the choir area. I know Brother Brad always enjoys them especially. And I also know the church appreciates everyone coming forward to help out in the singing. So I appreciate the good singing this morning, the good playing. And I hope and pray that you got a blessing out of the singing this morning. Appreciate the good number that's come out this morning. And again, we're glad to have our visitors with us today. Does anybody have anything on your heart this morning? A word of testimony or anything? I appreciate each and every one coming out today. If you want to read with us, I want you to notice that. I think we're going to start from the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew today. I'm going to say especially here as we start, I want the young people to kind of pay attention today. I hope you pay attention every day, but especially today. Most of the adults of this church, they're going to go to this church and not to others. Occasionally, we adults, we visit other denominations and other places, and they may have a little different language than we do. Notice I said language. They may speak about salvation in a different way than what we do. And I want to kind of clarify some things for you today. So I want you to listen is what I want you to do. So that maybe when you get to one of these places, you'll be able to understand what the Bible is telling you, for one thing. But I also want to make sure that we know the right ways also. So that's basically what this message is going to be about a lot today. Now, I'm going to start out in this way because you're going to find this. I'm hoping you'll see where we're going here in just a few minutes. How many of you young people, and I'm not asking for a show of hands, you have basically gotten to a place sometime or another. Maybe you walked up behind, and I'll say even maybe behind your best friend, and they were talking to another person, and basically they said something about you, and it hurt your feelings drastically. Have you ever done that? I'd say just about every young person has done that, and we that are old, we did that too. And unfortunately, that happens even in your adulthood. I'll say that. It happens. I'm going to give you a quick example. Years ago, when we were in Florida, I took a job down in Florida, and I was one man among 30-some-odd women. Gentlemen, you find out things that you don't want to know. You do. You find out things you really don't want to know. But there was myself and another lady. We had an opportunity to be hired full-time. I started out part-time. And because of the circumstances, they were going to make a provision for us, for me and this lady. We'd already been working several months as temporaries, and they was going to make a provision that we could go ahead and be hired full-time and start getting benefits. Sounds good, don't it? There was a, quote, friend in that group that when she heard it, she went to the bosses, she went to our immediate boss, and she went to the heads of the company, and that was knocked in the head big times. She talked about us, and we thought she was a friend. You see, that happens from time to time. Now, I'm not one to take offense, but that did hurt my feelings pretty bad. You know what I'm talking about. I thought she was close. I thought she was somebody I could talk to, somebody we cut up with from time to time. But I seen her in a different light in that day. Now, you're probably trying to say, well, where in the world are you going with this? Now, you know how it feels to have someone talk about you, not believe in you, think that you are not the thing. Sometimes that happens with boyfriends. Sometimes it happens with spouses. Sometimes it happens with girlfriends, I should say, also. These things happen. But what I'm going to try to preach to you about today is who is offended. Who is offended here? And I want you to especially hear that God is the one that has been offended today. A lot of the world today, they use terms in salvation that a lot of people take for granted. We'll say it that way. And when I say they kind of take it for granted, that they tend to have made it an easy way of salvation in people's minds. And when I say an easy way of salvation, what they have said is, well, all you've got to do is just walk the aisle down to the front of the church, and that's all you've got to do. That's not in the Bible. Although the word receive the Lord Jesus Christ is in the scripture, it has been used many times over the years to where that it just makes it sound we just receive Jesus into our hearts. That's not scriptural. It has been said many times about different ways of putting it. A lot of people today use the term just accept Christ is what they'll say. And that term, when it's used in the right way, it's okay, But it lends to people an idea that all you've got to do is just accept Jesus, and that's all you do. And because you accepted him, he takes you. Now, this is what I want you to get this terminology into your mind and understand. Salvation is not easy. There's a lot of people today that says, we as old-time Baptists, we make it too hard. I agree sometimes. I think I do make it too hard. But it's kind of like when the weatherman comes on in the morning and they have got a red alert out for you today saying there is going to be a chance of tornadoes out here and you need to be prepared for that. And all we got was a sprinkle. That's happened a lot of times lately. Sometimes I think people do tend to make things so much. We take it for granted that it's not going to happen. We need to understand and realize God is coming back again. Brother Brad sung the song, "The King is Coming." That fits in right here. He is coming. We don't need to take that for granted. We need to be prepared for that. When we see the tornado warnings, we need to make sure that we take it to a response level is what we need to do. But we don't want to make it so easy that we just say, well, all I did was just I accepted Christ. Oh, I just received it in my heart. I just made a trip down here to the altar and the preacher shook my hand and that's okay. That was terms that I grew up hearing from different people over the years. And I want you to understand, it's good to walk the aisle and seek the Lord. It's good to want to receive Christ. It's good to accept the fact that Jesus is Lord. But you've got to go much further, because as that person hurt your feelings, what did it take for you to feel good about them again? Did you just accept them as they were right then, even though they had talked about you, as the old saying goes, like a dog? Did you feel good about that person still? What I'm trying to get over to you, God is the one that is offended today. And he is offended because of your sin today. Our reading lesson today gives you instruction on how to handle a situation in which that there is an offense. We're taking it from the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew. And this is the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is giving saved individuals instructions on how to handle this situation. Verse 23 says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." There needs to be a reconciliation made in your life today with that party that has offended you or has an offense. It is our responsibility in this world to give that response. What the Bible tells us to do, if we are the offending party, we are to go to that individual, confront them about it, do it in love is what I should say, in love, go to them and talk to them about what they did. But if they do not come to you, you should go to them. Okay, that's that part of the lesson today. So let's take this on a spiritual route here today. We're talking about who is offended today. Do you remember what the Bible says about sin in our lives? The Bible tells us that each and every one of us has sinned in the sight of God. Every single one of us has sinned in the eyes of God. We have that upon us. It's part of our nature to be an unbelieving person in this world. Now, as I said, we have a tendency in some minds to make it hard. But the idea that I want you to understand is what the scripture is telling you. You are not the offended party in God's eyes. And what he expects us to do is to come to him. I want us to go to the book of James, if you would, and look in the fourth chapter and see how that James instructed them to handle this thing with God. Us knowing that we are the ones that is offended, how do you go to an individual who has been offended? We should go to them in a very humble manner. Do you realize that pride is one of the worst things that any of us as people in the church has in our lives? Yes, pride. It is one of the problems that people have. We as individuals, we have a lot of pride about us. A lot of times sinners have in their minds, well, I wouldn't want to call upon God. Why wouldn't you want to call upon an almighty God? Well, I'd be afraid to in one way, but I'd be even more afraid not to. Go back to the tornado warning. If they came over the television and they told you that your street address, a tornado was barreling down upon you right then, which one would you rather do? Go outside and look up to see if they're right, or would you want to hide in your safe place to make sure that you were safe? Hey, some of us dumb enough to go out and look up. Hey, some of us is dumb enough to get our phones out and video it. And you can get blown away. But we're talking about how to handle the offended one. And pride is one of our chiefest problems. Now, the Bible says in the fourth chapter of James, in the sixth verse, he said, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. It is important for us to realize that when we are coming to God, we are not coming to him, Lord, here I am. Pick me. Did you ever do that in school? No, we choose up sides to play on the basketball team, and we look at that person choosing, hey, pick me. I want to be on your team. That's kind of the way and the mentality of people are today. Oh, God, pick me. I'm good enough. Yes, I'm good enough. Please, pick me. But God resisteth the proud. He giveth grace. He giveth that favor unto the humble, is what he said. He said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, the main word that I want to call to your attention here is submit. What does it mean to submit? You get yourself in line is what it's really talking about. And what he means when I say line is you present yourself to them, to the offended party. You submit yourself unto them. When that I came to the knowledge that I was the sinner, when I came to the understanding that I needed to be saved, I submitted myself unto the Lord. I did. The first time that I submitted myself unto the Lord, yes, I was up there and I was saying, pick me. I can help your team. Lord, I'll do anything that you want me to. Did you lie like that? Every one of us just about did. We all said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Pick me. Lord, I'll be a good child from here on out. Lord, just pick me. But what he wants you to do is submit yourself unto him. The next verse says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. When he talked about these verses here, submitting yourself, drawing nigh to God, he expects us to draw nigh to him. I talked about the people that says, all you've got to do is just walk the aisle. Hey, it is a good thing to walk down to the altar. If you need prayer, you walk down to me and you ask me to pray for you and the rest of us will follow. It is a good thing, but the best thing you can do is go to God. I can't save you. Jesus can. Draw nigh to God. And then he said, cleanse your hands. Have you ever went into the house at supper time and you sat down at the table and somebody looked at you, you need to go wash your hands. I've done that. And I looked down at them and I said, they're not that dirty. Did you do that? Mama probably come up behind you. I told you to go wash your hands. I deserved it, didn't I? Now, I'm trying to get your attention here. What is he talking about? Cleanse your hands. Acknowledge the fact that you are not clean. You do not clean them up yourselves, but you acknowledge that you are not clean. You acknowledge that you are the sinner, in other words. Show that you are. He said, purify your heart. The Bible tells us to confess our sins. The Bible tells us that we should not be double-minded. What is double-minded? What is it? Oh, Lord, I'm following you. Hey, let's go over here and do this from one of your friends. Let's don't go to church today. Don't take part in that church activity. It'll be a lot more fun for us to go play ball. It'll be a lot more fun if we go over and do this. It'll be a lot more fun if we do. I'm wanting you to get in your mind. Get your mind on God. You may think it's a lot more fun to be with your friends doing whatever than it is being with God, but I'm going to tell you something today. Put your mind on God and you're going to find a great, great joy. More joy, more happiness than anything that you ever thought of before. He said, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Yeah, getting there is not easy. As I said, many times we're accused of making it too hard, but it takes a point in your life where you're willing to weep. Oh, I'm not talking about outward weeping. It can. I did. My laughter turned away from laughing. There was no joy in me in that time. But he said, let it all be turned away. Oh, preacher, you're making it way too hard. But God said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, humbling yourself in the sight of the Lord. Now, I realize we live in a generation of people today. I'm entitled to have this. Kids, I realize you hear people talk about that and you don't understand it hardly yet, do you? Well, let me ask you a question. Did you really deserve an A when you did not study? I was never the type, especially in spelling, that if my mother did not take me into the kitchen and sent me down, spell so-and-so, spell this, spell that, I had to work at it just to make a halfway decent grade, and then I still didn't get an A. I was lousy at it. Are you good at it? You see, I had to get to the place where that I was in the sight of the teacher deserving an A. You've got to get to the place where you deserve to be saved. Is that hard? Yes, it is hard. But God is the offended party. Preacher, you have not showed us where that we have sinned against God. Yes, I have, but I'm going to take you to another place. In the 51st chapter of the book of Psalms, I want you to get this first. Because we've talked about you getting to the place where that you can get saved. I talked about that you need to cleanse your hands. You need to recognize your sin. But preacher, am I really a sinner against God? David said this in the 51st chapter. The third verse says, "And I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Have you acknowledged that you're a sinner yet? In God's eyes? The fourth verse, David said this. "Against thee, thee only." There's two thees right there. "Against thee and thee only," he said, "have I sinned." It's not because your mother and dad is there and they're church members that they want you to be saved. It's not because that they are trying to force something upon you. Yeah, they bring you to church so you can hear the truth. They want you to be cleansed, but you've got to acknowledge that God is the one that has been offended. Why would God be offended at me? Is that your question? Remember that friend who talked about you? They might have even used a term like this. "I could never believe a word they said." Did you believe God? Have you believed God yet? You see, that's not an easy statement, is it? How about fully believed in him? He said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." You see, what I'm trying to get over to you, God is offended by the very fact that you don't believe in him. That's your sin. But I do, preacher. I heard Jesus talked about all my life. I believe he died on the cross. But did you fully believe him enough to trust him completely? Have you? That's what it's going to take. You remember that friend I talked about that talked about you and you said, "Did you ever really trust them again?" Or did you have it? Maybe not right here, but all the way back here in the back of your mind, did you hold on to that and say, "I can't trust them. I could never trust them again"? You might be saying, "Well, I can't trust God either. Did God lie to you?" Well, he said he'd save me when you believe him. Yeah, I know he said he'd save me when I believed him, but did you come with pride or did you come humbly? Did you fear God? Were you afraid of him? where you're afraid to die without him. Let me give you another verse here. 2 Chronicles, the 6th chapter. And I imagine a lot of people think I'm going to 14th verse of the 7th chapter, but I may in a minute, but I got a verse. God told in this verse here, he says, if they return to thee with all their hearts and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, where they have been carried, captive, and pray toward their land. Talking about Israel, the nation itself. But it's a good study here. It's a good study for the lost especially. It's a good study for us as church members. For us to get our hearts right, it's time to pray towards God. But he says, I want you to notice, the land of their captivity, you are a sinner and you're caught up in that sin so much, you're just as much in captivity as any slave that has ever been. Hey, preacher, you ain't supposed to use that term. People get offended because of that. You are a slave to sin. And the only way you can get out of it is to be purchased by God. He's the only one that can deliver you. Now, let's go on over 7th chapter. I ain't going to go over the rest of that verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Senator, what I want you to see here is this. Even me, even these people that's already been saved, when we want to approach God, we have to do the same thing that you're going to have to do to get saved. We have to go through the same steps. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then God said, then will I hear from heaven. I feel like I haven't done a really good job of showing you that God is the offended party. But he is. He is the one that was offended. And you have to meet his conditions is what I want you to understand. That's the hard part about getting saved. The hard part is getting to the place where that he can accept you. The hard part is getting to the place where that he can receive you. Yes, I realize a lot of the world uses those terms today. They have been used a lot over the last 150 years, I think it is now, since it was really brought up and really commanded church people to start using these terms. You'll get more people in church that way. That was the whole idea that they brought up. It's done. But if you really want to go to heaven, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Seek his face. Pray unto him. Call upon him until you get to the place where that he will accept you. Brother Brad, that's going to be our message today. Kids, I realize today this is a message that maybe you don't really want to take to heart so much, but I realize you're seeing and hearing things in these places that you are visiting, and it may be confusing to you. Well, they just say, go down front and you'll be saved. Have you ever seen somebody go down to the front of the church house and the preacher tells them, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And they say, yeah. And they say, that's good enough. I'll tell you one, and Brother Brad, I'm going to close with this. I flipped stations back years ago, and I was flipping stations, and there was a preacher, and he had a big, tall stage, and people gathered around him like crazy. And I happened to notice before he did, or at least what they showed on camera, this lady standing, young lady standing about right in here, right at the corner, and he spotted her. And he got down there with her, and he said, "You pray with me." She needed to be praying herself. And as he was praying there on stage with her, she wasn't repeating his prayer. When he got done and he said amen, he says, "Honey, I know the Lord saved you." There was something inside of me right then that I would have liked to have got a hold of that fella. I'd like to reach through that TV screen and got him. There's nobody that can tell you when Jesus saves your soul. God does that job himself. I can't do it. Nobody on television can. Nobody in this city. Nobody in this county. Nobody in this state. Nobody in this country. Nobody in this world can tell you when the Lord does a great work inside of you of saving your soul. That's God's privilege. And he'll let you know. He'll let you know when he does that work inside of you. And that's when it's time to quit praying and start telling people, "God save my soul." Now, this morning, if you're here and you want to be saved, walk the aisle. Walk the aisle. It's not going to save you, but it's a good start. Come down here, accept the fact that Jesus died for your sins. Accept the fact. But don't stop there. Don't just say, "I'm receiving Christ." Don't stop until you really find him. I didn't get on that part where it said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." I said I was going to stop a few minutes ago, didn't I? That's what I want you to understand today. Now's the time to seek the Lord before it's too late. Brother Brad, while we sing, seek the Lord now. That altar's always open. Seek him now. You can get saved in your seat. Seek him now before it's too late. Brother Brad, while we sing, I'll hush.
209, Heavenly Highway Hymns 2, 209.